if we keep those jobs, right, ma'am?
Which jobs? The existing jobs.
We talk about we have a $700 million wage bill a year, right? And if we cut 10% across the board, that's $70 million that we save, right, ma'am? $70 million. If we cut out some of the allowance because we want persons to bear, we can't expect the poor man just to bear the burden, ma'am. It is no fault of the poor man. It is the bad economic practice of a previous government that brought us to this standstill at this moment, again, ma'am. And you can't expect that every time that somebody do foolishness, that the poor man is to suffer. It cannot work, ma'am. It cannot.
I fully hear your reckoning.
We have to be, ma'am.
I would suggest.
We have to be. We have to look at other ways and means. And
right. So let me add in here now. I would also suggest that in the whole revamping, it cannot be only persons at the bottom of the structure. So I can support you on that. I can support
Thank
that
you.
It cannot only be stenographers. We need to look specifically at the whole system and see, is this particular organization serving the same purpose for which it was designed 40 years ago? Is that organization doing a very similar thing, and therefore we can combine the two and reduce the number of persons employed in that space? It has to be very strategic in its attempt, so that we address and the real concerns, because it is not only just cutting numbers. I've heard Dr. Kevin Greenidge, he mentioned that, and he said it several times. It is not only just a matter for cutting numbers. It is really bringing the public service into 21st century, so that it serves the public for which it is designed to do.
Right. Again, ma'am, the social programs that sometimes I feel that they're ill-conceived, you know, that these social programs that we put into place, right? One thing that when you say A, you must say B. One of the things that people must understand, there's nothing free in life. Somebody has to pay for it. It is a cost. Government don't go there and make money. They have to earn it through revenue. So whenever we put programs in place, we have to educate the public and let them understand that there is a cost attached to everything that we do, right? So
which is why
education is vital.
Yes, and just doing two things simultaneously, talking to you and replying to something.
Yes,
I'm more inclined when a young person calls and says that they're out of a job and they work one day a week, to encourage them to continue to look, and also to get someone to facilitate them finding some kind of trade, learning how to do a trade, etc., as opposed to that young person seeing that the welfare is the next best option. As dire as things can be, I want our young people to be more innovative in thinking and to be far more not looking as though, I mean, yes, things get bad and you lose a job and then you can't pay your bills, etc. I'm very aware of that. But I want our people, not just young, but I'm speaking specifically in response to the young person that called, to peruse the newspapers, look for opportunities, and try to find a way to be able to support and sustain yourself, as opposed to finding that assistance in your welfare. This is down to brass tacks.
I agree, but sometimes, ma'am, when you say, you see, the hardest thing to do, right, that I find a lot of people don't understand, right, is to walk, sometimes to walk in that man who has on the tight shoe, foot, and his or her place. And when persons could walk and understand, or they find themselves in a similar situation, ma'am, it'd be a different story.
It is true. It is true. And I was speaking specifically, and I said what it was I was referring to. I've said I'm doing two things here, that I'm replying to someone, because someone on WhatsApp asked a question, so I was responding publicly. And the comment is that I would prefer that young people hook up with somebody who has a job or hook up with another opportunity, as opposed to get through to the welfare department, because they know that person has far more value to add than a person who does not have the capability, who may have a disability or something else, who would need the welfare. And I'm not in any way not thinking of persons who may have challenges. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Down to Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Remember, we're going until 1:30 p.m. today.
Good afternoon, Miss Gail. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Yeah, I speak for that lady when you hear her call that young lady. But listen, you guys, they want to do so much, right? That's why we had constituency councils. You know, for the 22 years I served on the council, so many people get hyped, I think, because when you go to the welfare, you used to get turned around and come back to the council. If the people, some of you ladies are waiting for the welfare to get the spring go back to school, or let them go back to school. I agree with that young man that spoke earlier the thing about the cutting these people's side of the thing. You got Ed St. Michael, all these constituency councils, and, I mean, the candidates that run the last elections, right? And if you check Ed for the Barrister Party, all of them got over $42,000, $50,000, $50,000. The lady at the time, $72,000. All that money they spent this year, but now this money is all that. Sometimes the constituency can want money, I think. I agree 100%. And we really there. My one, that's a bad thing, talking about like in Barbados. Because you know, I worked in Canada for a lot of years, right? And even the tobacco, one, the government get vexed and want to buy the whole tobacco system. Because I had worked with a farm over 300 acres of tobacco. And the current an acre, they had that ginseng and all that. If you go to Canada, we see most of the tobacco farms, most of them done. Because the government at the time, they prevent people health, people suffer from cancer, this and that. Let me put some people down in many don't suffer from that thing like that. You know, it's not just smoke and good. Up at Her Majesty does there. You got people there, you know, kind of back every year, too, that whole thing. So I just know I will bring that back way, right? What I will let him to do, right? After now, I don't hear nothing about this garbage tax. The trucks are supposed to come in. I hear no, they ain't supposed to bring them all. So I took the plan of your truck, the garbage truck. All you have to see the garbage pull up all around. And people still got to pay for this garbage excess tax and all kind of there. What are the government saying about it? You know, and everybody can say, man, make a jump, you know, or go away, right, sir? I hear you. I will talk to you when we go back. Sally, I have calls there. My girl can talk.
Thank you. We have some WhatsAppers here who are pretty animated. One person introduces the whole concept of volunteerism and assisting, and it says, more people in BIM need to give back and stop the me and I living. That is interesting, and it is going to be even more needed now with persons who, some of whom will be on the breadline, not all, and helping out a little bit more. If you used to give $3,000, how much money you used to give per month, ensure that you can increase it if you have the capacity to, and for sure, try to help. And then service clubs and serving people, etc. Those are things that would be necessary going forward. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air. Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon. Pleasant evening to you as well.
Good afternoon.
That caller, one caller previous, I wish I had a voice like his. But that is the kind of comment you'd expect to come from the trade unions. Seriously, that is what you'd expect them to say even before they go into some round table meeting.
Refresh.
As opposed to, you know, you're firing women and that song unfair.
But you're not in closed door to hear what's going on, trust me.
Yeah, but what comes out in some way should suggest the kind of discussion that went on the inside.
But you don't. How can that happen if you go through various iterations of negotiation?
When
you
start... Well, the truth be told, the old concept of women being removed or being targeted was just so ill-conceived. It borders on the ridiculous, okay?
But people are free to have their
perspectives. Yeah, you know that all that is very true. All that is quite true. Mm-hmm. But in reality, all it does is offer us a very easy opportunity for those who are making the decisions to come back and make the unit's position seem even more ridiculous, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Sometimes people set themselves up to be taken to hell out. And that's what I consider. The trade union movement in Barbados is just really not what it's supposed to be. Particularly now that what is happening in Barbados is not only happening here. It's happening all over the Western Hemisphere, you know. And you require a strong movement.
Which part? What is happening here? Speak so that we can be clear. Because you said all over the Western Hemisphere. We see Guyana.
The marginalization of the labor effort.
Okay.
And that includes even those people who are involved with working with their hands. The whole shabush. And at the end of the day, somebody should have to speak on their behalf. Or else, you know, the result may not be what would be in the best interest of the whole.
So now, you're unionized?
I'm sorry?
Are you unionized?
Who, me?
Mm-hmm.
you know what? Okay, let's
no,
not,
no, no, just a genuine
no,
question.
I'm not unionized because, quite frankly, they don't have people who do what I do.
Okay.
But I do have people. If I were to go and I say everybody that works with the hands come and deal with me, let's get together. You're talking with everybody from the surgeon to the porter, everybody, the whole group. And perhaps the best thing perhaps would be to do would be to form a political party and see if we can get some seats in parliament. But you know, truth be told, that requires a few years investment, and if you ain't got that time left, you forget about it and move forward. Here's the thing: the guy spoke admirably about the adjusting of costs, salaries at the top, and the idea is to save people's jobs, and that is what you see. If these so-called consultants, the guys who come and get advisors and stuff, do not recognize that a very special responsibility of the government of Barbados, very special, very unique, is to help provide a viable consumer base. Because Barbados requires that the people come into your stores or whatever service it is that you provide and buy from you. And the government provides one-third of that. And part of the responsibility of government is to provide for that particular base and make sure it is entertained until Barbados's economic development becomes so healthy that, you know, the various opportunities can open up because we are actually trading with the rest of the world and so on and so on. But until that time comes, there is no harm done with a government deciding that they will keep people on staff so that at least they will have money in their pocket to go and shop. That is not only a noble position to hold. It is a relevant, from economic standpoint, a relevant position to have as well too. Consumers make economies work. And when you make that consumer group smaller, then there's less opportunity for the people who operate in that particular field to survive. Now, the man was right. But he said, let us start adjusting the salaries. But he could go even further than that. You spoke about the same advisor speaking about fit for purpose and efficiencies and that kind of thing. And unfortunately, yourself, you're part of the campaign of pulling wool over people's eyes. When it comes to human nature, when it comes to businesses, when it comes to the practice of turning a profit based on input over output, concepts such as efficiency do not cut it.
Okay, so pulling wool over your eyes. I deliberately said nothing because I was waiting for you to finish your sentence. But you went on to make a good point. And the good point is that I am for efficiency. I think that's essentially what you, regardless of the low bar that you may have shared.
But the bar is relevant up to the last comment that you have made. Because efficiency, to use the word alone, is being destructive.
So you have a let's talk it through. You have a set of inputs and you have a factory. Let's do manufacturing, which is what you like to talk about. And the inputs are not generating the output that will bring the profit. You're suggesting to keep the inputs and let the profit reduce. Is that what I'm hearing?
No.
Because you don't care about efficiency.
I don't care that you're using the word efficiency in a model that it does not apply to. That is why I'm not caring about.
Okay.
And I think you probably should know better than that. And I even hear people like,
I'm trying to understand why efficiency is a bad word in your view. Because
efficiency, maybe people speak of efficiency, it's a nice word to pronounce. But any model that involves the whole concept of efficiency recognizes that you cannot take out more than you've put in. It doesn't happen. You can put in 10, and the most you can expect to take out is 10. That model is an efficient model. At best, you'll take out 9.5. Those things you put on the roof that take sun and convert them into electricity are so inefficient to take 100% of the sun in joules or whatever, and it only gives you maybe about 5% or 8% out. And they're trying to push it up to 10 and 12. Those are the models that you can speak efficiency of. When you speak about human behavior now, and the whole concept of turning a profit, it is a completely different thing. Because what you would like to do in those particular models is to put 1 cent in and get 100 cents out.
That's erroneous. That's erroneous.
That is not erroneous.
Your concept of efficiency is not mine.
You should be concerned about. Concerned about the lowest possible input versus the maximizing of the output.
That's,
and if you go down that route...
And governments don't operate that way, so...
Slavery is a concept where you have no cost coming in.
Governments don't operate that way.
But government is not supposed to operate that way, and that is why you should not even be speaking...
Right, so don't even use that as an option, because government don't operate that way.
So government doesn't operate along the efficiency model either.
No. There are some inefficiencies that need to be reduced.
I explain to you what the word efficient was all about, and you can still go and use the same word in a way that is not doesn't even apply.
Let me comment here for you, sir.
If I spend X amount of dollars, I expect to get a certain amount of money out of it. That is cost effectiveness.
Let me comment here. You and I don't have the same perspective on this. We butt heads quite a bit. We disagree.
You're not going to shoot me down because you're going to continue.
No. We totally disagree.
Educate the public that what you have said is incorrect. What the other guy was saying when he was speaking about efficiency and fit for purpose is also incorrect. And you're going to still continue along the same lane. I mean, what? I don't have to show you my PhD. This thing to beat to say otherwise. You are talking about cost effectiveness. I mean, it's the biggest cost effective.
No. This has nothing to do with cost effective. This is to do with efficient.
Exactly what it has to do is you want to spend X amount of dollars on the government of people in Barbados and you expect to get a certain amount of services out of it.
That's erroneous.
Yes, or is it being simplistic?
No, that's fully erroneous. I'm being simplistic.
You're being erroneous because you're talking in terms that really don't apply.
I'm talking erroneous.
If you're going to talk about another guy who I keep forgetting his name is going to talk about governance and stuff, let me talk about cost. He said it's not about numbers; it's fit for purpose. He is right. It's not about numbers; it is about the cost. How much does it cost taxpayers to run government? And you're going to say, how much does it cost to run the parliament? You know, you've got other people in there standing up talking every day or once a week, making long speeches. Is that really necessary? You know, if you're going to look at costs, let me look at all the areas of governance in which costs apply and recognize that some costs are really too inflated and need to be reduced. And we don't even have to look at the salaries anymore. We can keep the people employed, keep the rich people in government who are making big salaries, keep them employed with the same amount. Look at the other areas where their costs are being expended. And try to adjust them first. But you see, the problem with that is that you're going to have to explain to the public, including myself, what those costs are itemized. You want to know, and I particularly want to know, how much money is spent on an annual basis with private lawyers. I came back came last year and made $750,000. One person for one transaction. I want to know how much money the government spends in private lawyers every year. That is a color that could be identified because that is going to be adjusted.
I'm going to thank you for your contribution so much. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Ms. Gail.
Good afternoon, sir.
How are you, ma'am?
Doing well, thank you.
Yes, you are. Can I have everything before somebody has to pay back or forward defensively instead of keep you looking intact? Ms. Gail, let me commend your resilience, first of all, and your... your ability to challenge a previous caller who has a habit of coming in and overloading the airwaves, a lot of facts and figures and timelines and dates and so on. And he has managed to bedazzle and befuddle many of our moderators from time to time because they can't say anything. Because if he says something happened in 1998 on a Tuesday, October 10th at 4 o'clock, nobody can challenge that. So, You had the courage this morning to challenge him when he said that there was a layoff of 5,000 people on the last administration. And that number, I've heard of that number on several occasions and nobody challenged him on it. The fact is that at the time when the IMF came here, they had recommended that there be a cut of 3,000. That was the target. However, by the time the process started, it started the NCC, the Bayside cleaners and so on, the NUPW stepped in. You remember, because the NUP argued that the first set of people who went home included people who were in the organization for 5 and 10 years. The employer, on the other hand, argued that last in, first out did not suit the productivity levels that they are looking for. Because if you have new people coming who are working, well, you have people on the staff already who are not working, then an employer should have the option to choose those workers whom he feels you get the best satisfaction from. The matter went to the Fair
Training Commission. I think there should be a mix, though, both last in, first out, and looking at reviews and performance and stuff like that.
Yeah.
As well as the one WhatsApper had shared earlier, sorry to cut you, but the WhatsApper also added that persons who are closer to their pension age and are interested in going home should also be given the option, if so. And I'm sure that all those permutations were discussed at the social partnership level Mm-hmm. We just, as a public, are not aware of all of those different types of discourse that would have taken place.
Yeah, but what he was, the point he was trying to make is that not even 1,800 people went home. Because, as I said, the process was stopped by February and UPW, who went to the Fair Trading Commission, you remember. And that process did not get any further.
So, but not only did the 1,800 people go home, but you also know that several persons were rehired.
Well, I don't know rehiring, but I know...
It happened, and it showed on the central bank. All of the reports showed.
Yes, you're quite right. You're quite right. I didn't know the figures. But I just wanted to make a point that not 5,000 people went anywhere. There were 1,800 people who were sent off.
Okay.
And the process stopped at that point because the FTC had entered the picture.
Okay.
Now, Miguel, there are a couple of things that I want to touch on very quickly. I am tired of hearing people who should know better saying that Barbados has the third highest debt in the world. I mean, only yesterday, how could people say that? How could Barbados have the third highest debt?
Tell me who doesn't have the third highest debt.
You should
know
that.
No, I asked you to share with the public what is it that you are disputing.
The fact that people said Barbados had the third highest debt. Not
that
ratio.
You know that people don't mean... People talking about the ratio vis-a-vis the GDP and the type of debt you have. Of course, they can't mean it in absolute terms.
You can't say that Barbados has the third highest debt because...
But they're speaking using the ratio as their basis on why they come to that conclusion.
But, Ms. Gay, we agree on that. We do not argue your point to argue that. We agree on
and
that.
And I'm telling you that those people mean that too.
But it can't mean that. You can't say Barbados has the third highest debt in the world. And you mean debt ratio.
They mean debt to GDP ratio.
The debt, well, right. They're two different things. So why not say debt ratio and finish and not sound saying debt? The other thing is that people are saying that Barbados is insolvent. Barbados is broke. The central government is broke. Not Barbados. Because I saw a report here that was written in August by the central bank. And the financial service, you might have seen it too, where it showed very clearly the what they call the assets of financial services sector. And it showed commercial banks, insurance companies, trust funds, trust and finance companies, and so on, as credit unions and so on. And it showed quite clearly that the private sector between 2012 and 2017 realize at least 10% increase in their asset value. So, whereas the Barbados central government might be in financial trouble, the private sector is not.
So, if I'm using your argument and carrying it right through, so when we get the downgrades, it isn't the private sector that they're talking about. They're talking about the government that has to be able to repay its various debts. So, when you speak about the country, you could only speak about the country that runs the affairs. The private sector is separate and distinct. So while private sector may have a large, you know, the assets may be really large, tripling, quadrupling, and all of that, what government has, that is irrelevant when you look at, can this country repay its debt?
Miss, you're quite right. And that is where the foreign exchange account comes in. Because I have a little difficulty with these terms people being using. Because the banks have just declared that they had profits in excess of $1.something billion. The banks.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the kind of lost that trend there.
Private sector.
Hello? No.
Okay.
The banks declare that they have this excess. They also have excess liquidity in the banking system.
Mm-hmm.
So, it seems to me strange that the government, central government, is impoverished. While the private sector, which is supposed to support the government, has a lot of money. And it means to me that there's a lot of money, there's a lot of outstanding debt to central government that is not being accounted for.
I'm going to thank you. The music is telling us that we are coming to the end of, or have come to the end of our program. I want to thank this last caller for his contribution and all the other callers for their contribution. Today, the 18th of October, 2018, we had an interesting discussion on a number of things, and there are a number of further deliberations, I'm sure, that will take place as we continue to go through the challenges, economic and financial challenges that the country the country is facing, I hope that we consider that there is hope, being anxious for nothing. Also being able to consider that we can be our brother's keeper, knowing full well that there are some of us who may not have what others have, and let us look out for one another. This has been my contribution on Down to Brass Tacks. Have a blessed and a wonderful day. Lisa Gale.